Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, listen to that timber. Embrace the gruff in the voice. A Stevie Nicks-like appearance by me, Spencer Hall, tonight, editorial director at SB Nation and founder of Every Day Should Be Saturday. Joining us, to the nearest and dearest, first of all, regular contributor to this podcast, partner and cast member, Jason Kirk, college football editor and general muckabout at SBNation.com. Hey, Jason.
Hey, I feel inadequate that not having a voice that can compete with that one. Not that I usually can, but tonight I'm even more outclassed.
Panda.
Oh, damn.
Get the designer going tonight.
What'd you go and do to yourself?
This is just some horrible sudden onset spring cold funk that is kind of handy, because if you don't really want to talk to somebody, you can go, hey, listen, my throat's all torn up. I'm sorry. I can't have this conversation.
Now, can you say like something about there being a wreck on the downtown connector? Because you sound like the man in the helicopter on the AM radio.
I'm Captain Herb, and we got a real sidewinder going down the 7585 right around that Brady curve. Better watch it. It's a 3-car fire, APT, AFD, and the GHP on the scene. You're going to want to take surface roads to get around that.
You know what I realized today on 107.9 on their morning show? The helicopter man, they call him Cracker.
Yeah.
And it's a white dude, so in case anybody ever wonders if that word's actually offensive, the answer's no.
Yeah, no, not in Atlanta. The minute you get outside 285, it's like, well, why can't we say that other word? But yeah, if you're inside 285, it's cool.
Because you're not in a helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. There's a different racial dynamic when you're speaking to somebody in a helicopter. The fences are down, man.
I didn't think I could be homesick for Georgia. No, I'm not. I'm not homesick for Georgia at all. But this is fun.
No, because really, what are you missing? Crippling gridlock? Nope, you got that. Right.
Besides you two, literally nothing.
Zero planning? Nope. Los Angeles has that too. Like epic trash food. LA's got more of that. It's like the most trash food town ever. I say that endearingly, like lovingly.
Allegedly an NFL team? Yep, same situation.
That's it.
Oh, I missed this.
Mysteriously corrupt baseball team? Dump. Yep. only advantage LA has is that their baseball team is literally in a hole. It's in a ravine, right? We just put ours in Cobb County. Same thing. Same thing, really.
Same thing. Can confirm.
We are joined tonight by EDSBS alum and current political editor? Editor of policy? Like, what is your title?
It's director of politics and news. Guess how fast I let that go to my head.
Oh, it took about 3 seconds.
Pretty fucking fast.
Yeah. Holly Anderson. Hi, Holly.
Hi, I just realized something. You have Stevie Nicks' vocal cords, I have her hair, and Jason has her delicate bone structure.
Oh my god, we are Stevie Nicks' Voltron.
Tusk, y'all!
Stand back. My god. Like, you know, my mom hates Stevie Nicks to this day because my dad thought she was hot. Like, and he wasn't cool about it either. Like, stand back.
We're going to your dad awfully early in this podcast.
Wasn't cool about it.
No,
is that like when she's on TV, he's making noises, or
pretty much, yeah, like, yeah, like mid conversation, Stan Back would come on, and he'd like turn up the radio and be like, "I can't see you."
That doesn't sound like your dad.
Oh, that hurts! Don't make me do that.
No,
my dad in a tracksuit. My dad in a tracksuit. Okay,
stop sexting me through this podcast.
Off the work environment. I wanted to do a couple things. Sally doesn't know. We were doing pre-show. We actually do pre-show, which is the point where I haven't hit record yet. That's really all pre-show is. And Jason, we found out something about Holly, right? She doesn't know something.
Holly does not currently know who the head football coach at USC is.
I forgot. I know Ted Cruz's fucking schedule down to the minute for the next week, and it has pushed out the knowledge of who USC hired.
Well, that's good. I mean, you have to keep your head on a swivel. You have to know where Ted is. The only way to avoid him is to know where he's expected to be. So that, I think that's essential information for any American to know in advance where that man will be.
Lest that weird lumpen face get too close to your person.
Heading to the nearest dildo factory with a can of gas and a match.
Well, hell, we've all been there.
That's where Ted Cruz is headed, man. I'm going to say, if he wants a dildo factory, he's just look in the mirror, buddy. Yeah, that's right.
I thought that was going to a your mom joke. You know what we should do on this podcast that we've never done before? We should explain the your dad thing.
No. Do we? All right. Let's finish this line of thought, and then we can get to psychologically taxing topics, like why Holly enjoys talking about my dad. First,
everyone should.
God damn it. Let's see if we can get this. Before my brain shatters into 1,000 pieces, we need to see if there's any way we can get Holly to guess who USC's coach is. Because the joke here is that you know who the athletic director is.
Yeah, that's what made me realize that I saw the Lynn Swann news and I was like, oh, God, this is, you know, at least the face that he was making in the photo made it look like as though he had an exact clue of how terrible an idea this was. Lynn Swann himself did.
Yeah.
And then I realized, well, I wonder if he'll push out. And then I realized I don't know who they went with. I'm sure I knew it at the time, but it has been shuffled off into the nowhere place with Bing Bong in my brain.
I would say we approach this like this.
Is it this bad? Do we have to actually like play charades and go first word?
No. I think we can walk to this in a few short steps, which is. Based on what we know about USC's hiring preferences at head football coach and athletic director over the past few years, there is definitely a profile and a key resume item that when you slide your resume over and it says, have
worked on Pete Carroll's staff. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Aren't we kind of sort of running out of those dudes?
Not yet.
Did they hire Sark again?
kind of.
Oh,
well, I think you're definitely on the right track because run out of those dudes, I think they did, which is why they hired this individual.
Jason, play along with me. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
So what was the administrative position in title of Pete Carroll's successor at USC? His administrative title when he was at USC was what? He was...
The offensive coordinator? Are you talking about before he was coach?
Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator.
He went to get Jimmy Johns. That was his job.
That's right. And he was offensive coordinator. Okay.
Right.
Then they hired who by title? Who did they hire? They hired...
Did they keep Clay Helton?
Boom!
Okay, that explains why I forgot.
That's the joke, that USC has hired three offensive coordinators who were on staff in a row. Three.
Everything's going to be fine. See? But they're going to solve this thing. He's a perfectly nice human.
He's already like 6-4.
He's already got the polo. He's got all the polos. They don't have to fit him for new polos. They don't have to Photoshop anything like that poor information staff in South Carolina is having to do with Muschamp.
Who now has the boom bus? That is my favorite thing that they were so
Did you see how unexcited he looks on that bus? He looks exactly like... Like, if you were faced with a long, long ride in a painted-in, un-air-conditioned bus in Columbia, you'd be making the exact same face Will Muschamp is making on the side of that bus. But here's what really gets me. Imagine how many photos they had to take of him. That was their best option. That photo on the side of that bus is the best option they came away with. Imagine the outtakes from that shoot for Will Muschamp on the side of that bus.
I bet he gives them, like, 7 seconds. He's like, take a damn picture. Okay.
Wait, are you saying that Will Muschamp is concerned with speed?
Well, on one side
that's
of the ball,
new.
At least. Maybe he does like half the things in his life really quickly, and then half of them, it takes him forever and he never gets them done.
I can name a couple of the things on the other side of that ledger.
I pun on flossing. Like, that's Will Muschamp. Either that or he just flosses for like 30 minutes and never properly does it.
I bet he flosses down to the bone. Will, why'd you do that? Well, the floss stopped there.
Yeah, sorry. I popped all the teeth out.
I ran out of floss.
You're going to have to put
That's what you're asking, right?
you're going to have to put them back in. You know what? That's not my problem, because you know what? The person before me didn't leave much floss in the cabinet. Right? Look, go in there and look. I didn't have much floss to work with.
I feel like we're not talking about floss.
We might not. This may be a metaphor. By the way, like, that joke is right there. Like, you have something called the boom bus, and I'm immediately hearing Muschamp, like, one of his more malevolent assistants who's like, yeah, I'm getting 3 years and getting the hell away from this lunatic. It's like, no, 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 we should have a title with more bang. Like a bus with bang. Like, what
could what can we call it?
So, like, this vehicle, they're riding it around, what, high school towns, I guess?
Just trying to meet people.
Just trying to meet young, athletic-looking people.
Just trying to make friends. That's all. Give them a
ride.
I want
to make this even just more uncomfortable.
Just trying to meet some chill folks.
That's it.
Let's work in that famous shot of Will Muschamp where he's jumping up and down during his brief stint at Auburn, hugging one of his players like he's a goddamn clip-on koala. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, he's got him in the rear naked.
Yeah, just get on the bus for 22 to 34 minutes. That's all we need. We'll edit it down to whatever you need. I just hope some assistant put that out there. And, like, Muschamp was like, that's cool. I mean, I'm boom, though. It shouldn't be boom. You sure it isn't bang, coach? Are you sure? I want to look.
No, they never called me that.
No, never called me that. No, the bang bus. It'd be great.
I love the phrase, one of his more malevolent assistants.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure there's, like, one or two dudes on that staff who are like, short time. Cash it in.
There's at least two of them named Bonesaw.
Bonesaw 1 and Bonesaw 2.
Well, that's to be fair, that's just state law.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Only one of them, it's their Christian name.
You know how Stanford has those coaching titles, like the Andrew Luck coordinator of offense, right? A professor of offense.
Oh, the Bonesaw Endowed Garage or something.
Yeah, no, it's just Bonesaw 1 and Bonesaw 2. And you have to do, like with Dr. Seuss thing 1 and thing 2, you have to wear this little jumpsuit that has, like, you know, little Bonesaw logo in 1, but little Bonesaw logo in 2. They'd be like, I thought Bonesaw.
Also, if you wear a jumpsuit, then you don't have to wash the blood chips off. You just kind of shed it.
Frankly, wearing a jumpsuit in Columbia, South Carolina is just a good idea for sanitation and personal hygiene.
Oh, God, I don't know. Imagine, like, have you ever had full body swamp ass? I haven't.
Breathable. It's got a wick. Maybe, Jason, we should just send Bud out on the road in one of those. A full wicking body suit.
He'll figure it out.
Bud, full body swamp ass Elliot.
He'll figure out a hack that'll make it, workable.
I haven't told Holly.
And then actually, he'll buy them in bulk.
I think I did.
Yes, he'll buy a pallet of it.
We had
$60 somehow.
I got this at Cabela's on sale. It's $30. I got seven.
Yeah, what I do is I go on the internet and look for people who are selling it with typos.
The recruits told me this was on Fleek. You down with that new OG Mako? Like, sometimes
miss
Bud,
you, Bud.
If you don't know, Bud is our recruiting coordinator. And Bud had a moment this week that was maybe the most recruiting coordinator moment ever, and that it implied deep knowledge of teen culture and yet a real estrangement from it, which was that in Slack he said, oh, yeah, this year, prom fashion, like midriffs are back.
This was my question. What is Bud doing at a prom?
He's just trying to get some, some tape.
Just trying to get some. Yeah, just getting some tips about who's talking to Michigan, who's talking to Oklahoma. But yeah, he just picks up a lot of stuff from these kids. Like, there was some story last week where he wanted recruit opinions on something and just fired up a group DM with like 20 recruits. And we were all laughing like, oh, Uncle Bud just rounding up the kids to send him which emojis reflect their opinions on this NCAA thing. But yeah, he walks away with sort of opinions and actual working knowledge of every teen thing.
Yeah, midriffs are back. My wife's stressed about it. I was like, that's the most Bud moment ever, is to be like, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's a hard fashion pull.
He ends up with opinions about rappers that he's never even actually heard their music. But he, Young Thug, he talks about a lot of nonsense.
He does. I don't understand anything he's saying. Kids love him.
He might have never heard a Young Thug song, but he's got a Young Thug opinion that is certified by a teenager, so it's perfectly valid.
Honestly, I did get an IM from him like a couple of weeks ago. I was like, hey, what you know about that new OG Mako? Like, there we go. That's my life with Bud, and I would never trade it for anything. Can we look at Ludacris's rider from his show?
Probably oughta.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah. I only made it as far as the Jo Malone candles, and I closed the window with a nod of satisfaction that Luda is a man of taste and elegance.
You have to tell us, is that actually, like, because I'm candle illiterate, is that a quality candle brand?
Jo Malone is a quality girl perfume.
Okay.
Whenever I walk by the candles in the airport, I always want to smuggle 5 or 6 of them. So good on you, Luda.
Okay, that's good. Other things that stuck out to me.
Very first thing is bread, peanut butter, and jelly.
Yeah.
Very first on the list.
Yeah, no, that's essential. I would go way down the list, and I would look at this. One small secret deodorant. As if I didn't know Luda was already pretty smart. Wearing secret as a man, that's
oh,
like,
we got to post the Vine of you yelling about secret deodorant after you walked 20 miles to my house that one time.
It was totally fine. I smelled great. Secret is indestructible.
You are loud and profane in your defense of secret deodorant.
Till I die. Secret is the best deodorant out there. Hands down. It's actually kind of harmful. You'll stop sweating in parts of your body that did not even receive a treatment of secret.
So the one thing to consider with some of these is I believe Luda is married. And I'm not sure about the kid situation, if there are any kids involved who might or might not be traveling, but perhaps a consideration when it comes to candle quality, deodorant quality, things like that.
Maybe. That big box of Magnums, too. No, I know it's a thing that he endorses. He's like, I will endorse Magnum condoms till I die. Which, cool. That's fine. He specifies here that he wants the ecstasy variety of Trojan Magnum condoms. So that's, like, very specific. So if he has kids, it's evident that he doesn't want any more. So that's responsible. In addition to this, 2 packs of AA batteries and 2 packs of AAA batteries. What are those for?
Probably for the... it's got to be something to do with Georgia football, probably. Some sort of fan noisemaker thing, pretty much. My favorite thing on here is the cognac, which is his own brand of cognac. So he made the University of Georgia buy him 2 bottles of his own cognac. Yep. I mean, once you get to that level, I don't. What the fuck do you need with a business degree or anything or any kind of life plan? Just do that. Make that your goal and work toward that.
He's the professor who makes you buy his own book, right? Like,
can we talk about the repeat of almonds? Because that's what I keep getting stuck on.
I see an unsalted almonds, right? We got one.
One fresh unsalted almonds, but then down there between lotion and soap, God knows why, it's 1 can of almonds.
Okay, is that the salted almonds? Or is that just to make sure, you know what that is?
I know. Here's the language. Unsalted almonds, 1 can of almonds.
This is the Van Halen Brown M&M thing.
Yeah.
This is the, hey, I only see 1 almonds. Bye, can't do it, gotta go.
I only see almonds.
Yeah, no, this
is... Alright, I'm bored with this.
No, this is to make sure you're paying attention. Luda charged them $65,000, and we know this because that open records law hasn't passed yet. So we didn't have to wait 90 days. After the
it has, but they sent it really quick. Like, the law is in effect. There's another open records request that they are dragging their feet on, but this one, they turned it around within hours. I mean, if the whole purpose of that law was recruiting, I mean, shit, man, looking at this, this is going to help recruiting. I'd want this out quickly, too.
Also,
come to Georgia, get you 6 large white T-shirts, can of V8 juice, some candles.
I'm gonna need the finest candles in order to come to Georgia. Kirby Smart sitting there in a Bed Bath and Beyond at like 1 in the morning. God damn it.
They really need to make one of those like recruiting graphics that like coaches post on Twitter, and you're like, wow, coach, you're really good at Photoshop, with like, you know, it's got the light Nike logo, SEC logo, 41 draft picks and trophies and whatever, and then it's got like 1 case of Nico coconut water and a hairbrush. Come here, we got it all, and a degree.
Who do you think does Luda's ironing?
Luda.
Like, that's what I'm asking. He's asking for an iron and an ironing board. I'm wondering if he's standing in the tunnel to the locker room somewhere, just humming away and moving the iron back and forth, or if like one of Ugga's wranglers is going to be tasked with this.
I mean, Field Mob hasn't dropped an album in a long time. They might be ironing Luda's gear.
Yeah, they're not busy.
That's true. You know, like that though. It might be Luda, because Luda, I think, has done the thing where he ran out of money and then had to go, like, work The Voice, right? Like, he had to go do a TV show for a while. So I think he's back on that money-saving thing. Because I got a message on Twitter that said, I was at, I think, Auburn. This guy was at Auburn when he did that. And he's like, Luda had this same rider, and he walked off with all the stuff. Like, he put it all in boxes.
Yeah, yeah, it. Yeah.
Which means he probably...
for soap.
He probably has, like, 50 of those rechargeable toothbrushes.
So Luda is the Bud Elliott of stadium rappers.
You got to buy in bulk. Midriffs are back. Luda! We asked our readers, by the way, for some questions. Since there's nothing else going on. Oh, no. No. But the general topic. Jason, I would have these reader questions, which I didn't tag you on, by the way. You're welcome. The grade for this, I think they turned in about a C+.
That's good.
Yeah.
For them.
The theme that Spencer went with was booze. Worst booze experiences.
We were talking about situational drinking because
situational. Okay.
Because just to give you an idea.
Wait, I'm being targeted here.
No. Holly, you and I.
Am I being targeted here?
No, not yet. Notice, by the way, we skipped right past the dad question. That was a really pro move on my part.
I want people to explain people what all went into that, because I put a lot of thought into deciding to torture you by saying I was going to seduce your dad.
Oh, goddammit. Okay, so I don't remember what particular barb or sore spot I was punching on you one day, okay? Metaphorically speaking, I think. And... I you decided that the only possible comeback to this, right, was what?
No, wrong. I had a whole comedic theory behind this that you were completely disavowing until I tried it on you.
Oh, which was that everybody tells your mom.
This is the
everybody tells your
right, right. No, this is we got to start. Let me tell this. You're telling it wrong.
Break it down, y'all.
I don't know how we got into this. I don't know how we got into this, but just so we have all this on record, I. There are people in my life who now think I threatened to sleep with Spencer's father just for no reason. And I just want them to know that there's a rich and dark history behind it, which is that we were talking one day about mom jokes and how mom jokes have been in the culture, in the zeitgeist for so long that they're now universal. Like when somebody, Jason, tells you your mom joke, do you think of your specific mom or are you just like, your mom joke?
Yeah, you don't actually visualize your mom.
You don't visualize your actual mom, right. But dad jokes are so much less common that my point at the time was that there's still a specificity to them because you don't encounter them as often. So when you hear a joke about dads, you're more likely to think of your dad. The edges of this have not been worn down by time and overuse. And I'm explaining this in what I thought was pretty solid logic. And Spencer says, that's bullshit. And I pulled down one corner of my shirt collar and I said, how is your dad these days? And he got so fucking upset that I decided to use it against him for the rest of time. I've never seen him that upset.
It's really, really bad.
That's a good joke, man.
It's cringe. It's cringy because, you know, like.
And what did we learn from Strenko in Days of EDSPSUR? If it's funny once, it's funny every time.
It's funny every time. And that's the thing with dad jokes. You're like, when your mom joke, you're like, ha ha, she'll have sex on a donkey cart. I'm like, oh, okay, funny, ha, whatever. Maybe mom did. I don't know. Whatever. But with dad, it's like, he's a drunk. You're like, he is. Oh, God. You know? Or I'm going to take.
It doesn't help that your dad's extremely handsome.
My dad looked like Jack. He looks like Jackie Gleason.
Apparently, I have a type.
just Holly watching the toy going, something about that man.
The man can wear a tracksuit.
I will firmly stand up for that. My dad is one of the few human beings who located out of the like Staten Island area. One of the few white men who can carry off a tracksuit. It's like him and Bob Huggins. That's it.
Looks so wealthy.
He does. It's an illusion.
Which every once in a while he is.
Do you just want to cut this chest open? Do we just want to cut it? Let's just go.
All I've wanted this entire time was to hear you say that I was right about dad jokes.
I almost don't want to now.
What did I tell you? I told you I was going to gaslight you into thinking this was your idea.
I'm in hell, and that's fine.
I'm almost there.
So we were talking about situational drunkennesses.
Okay. Oh, were we?
Were we?
No, we were talking about Holly fucking my dad.
Oh, come on. Oh, that sounds like it actually happened. Come on, man.
You didn't. Oh,
have the tables turned now?
Oh. Just remember, if we're playing that game of how close can I get the beer keg to the edge of the deck, I'll always push it over. I'll be that one. Who did it? Spencer did it. Again, god damn it, he's going to have to pick up the keg.
I'd like to say we've all learned a valuable lesson, but I've known you guys too long.
Yeah, there's no such thing as brinksmanship for me, because there's no brink. I'm just gonna,
no worries there.
Appreciate you.
But situational drunkenness is this past weekend, you got drunk at what I think is like at least a top 20 drunk situation, right?
I would put it high on the list of desirable drunk situations, yes.
Yeah, you got Ren Faire drunk.
Yes, I did. Do you want details?
I'm Jason, have you ever been Ren Faire drunk?
No, I haven't been since middle school.
Or you haven't been Ren Faire drunk since middle school?
I haven't been to the Ren Faire since.
Because I got to say,
I would believe this without editing.
It was lit. I haven't been to Ren Faire since middle school. But if I went now, I would probably have a few.
I was going to say, man, that would be like if you were drunk in a Ren Faire in middle school, that is some Georgia ass shit. So I'm sold, by the way, on Ren Faire drunk because we used to do it in high school. And the only reason you go to the Ren Faire in high school is because they have turkey legs and because they have corsets. That's it. That's why a young boy goes to the Ren Faire.
This is pretty much the reason we went this weekend.
Yeah, but you were drinking, like, weird things that were flavored with, like, framboise and brandy, right?
Yep.
And it was sunny.
Like God in France.
And there were people...
Yeah, This was all kind of an excuse of the boss demanding that all of us take a day off because we've been killing ourselves with this new job and everybody's got kids and there's this Ren Faire out here that takes over a whole state park next to a dam, next to this beautiful lake, and it's 85 and sunny in the desert. And so after two, like, 12-ounce whatevers of this mead concoction, we're all just seeing through time. But I also have discovered that you can ably watch a toddler while not being able to walk yourself, because neither can they.
Jason, are you a better parent after, like, two drinks?
I think the thing about drinking in any task is you really cut through the bullshit. You become more efficient at everything.
Is it like that one beer that makes you really good at pool?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it makes you more capable, but there's just so much you're not going to worry about. So, on the whole, you're only worrying about the things that matter.
Yeah, I've got two drinks.
Like, we had a passel of kids with us under the age of six, and none of them came to injury, and it's not for any lack of discernment on our part.
Well, that's because my kids weren't there. But yeah, like two drinks, and I'm an amazing parent.
True.
That's like two drinks, that's why throughout the ages, that's when alcohol has really spiraled into a problem, is when children arrive, because it's just an operant advantage. You're more patient. You care less about the little things. It's great. Four drinks, in a weird way,
you become more authoritative because, like, you're being fun and weird, and that's interesting, so they're actually listening to what you say.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're in that zone for an hour and then you say, hey, stop that, they're like, whoa. You know, that stop that really means something, not like usual where it's, hey, stop that every 5 minutes.
I'm going to put a couple of different types of situational drunk out there as being completely optimal or perhaps overrated. Overrated is beach drunk.
Absolutely.
Everything's gritty and then somebody always has to drive home or stagger up these wooden splintery stairs.
Yeah. Beach drunk is miserable.
So hot.
It's so hot.
And like
it's so hot. Salt's dehydrating. Everything tastes like sunscreen and sand.
Yeah, it's deplorable. Yeah,
and not only are you sitting there becoming less healthy, you're surrounded by extremely healthy people.
Oh, the
worst. Just to really.
What beaches are you on?
Not the Gulf Coast. No.
Where you live.
Perhaps surrounded isn't the right word, but...
Jason weighs 350 pounds now. It's been a really difficult 2 months.
It's been a bad off season.
Yeah.
Miss you, fam.
I will say that beach drunk's deeply overrated. Pool drunk is not. Pool drunk rules.
How so?
Pool drunk rules because, one, it's generally not as hot. Two, it's a more controlled environment, so I don't have to worry about stumbling over as much stuff. Three, there's usually a lifeguard. So if shit goes sideways, I'm pretty sure somebody's going to pull me and or someone I like out of the pool, right? Four, the bar is closer, okay? And I'm going to put an addendum on this. It's not just pool drunk, Disney pool drunk. Disney pool drunk is the shit because you don't even have to pay. You just scan that awful little wristband that they have and boop, there's your $9 beer. Pops right into your hand. It's glorious. So pool drunk, definitely underrated.
This is literally the only thing I miss about ESPN is that Silver Pass.
The Silver Pass. Thank you, cousin.
Now, what about lake drunk? Because I would argue lake over pool in just about any circumstance, but this particular activity, obviously the proximity is an advantage for the pool.
This is what y'all don't understand about redneck life, that lake drunk is like, lake drunk is a top five drunk.
See, I feel like lake drunk has a lot of the disadvantages of both beach drunk and pool drunk in that there's more often than not some kind of transit involved afterward to get you home. And there's not a lot of ways to escape, you know, the scorchiness and also sticks and snakes.
I feel like lake drunk, you've got trees, so yeah. there's shade, so that cuts down on the sun. It's less humid. It's probably less noisy. It's probably less smelly. There are some bad lakes, but not many things smell worse than the ocean. At least for a lot of people, the transit is closer. I have a lake pretty close, but the beach is really far, so I'm biased here. But
also, in case you wonder if things get loose on lakes, like supremely loose, there's a
sign. None of us are wondering that.
All right, there's a sign on Lake Lanier that says, do not bring pets, including animal, comma, bears. Animal, bears are just listed in this long list of things considered pets.
Yeah, that's a party. And also, what's really the worst thing that can happen in a lake? Maybe you get hit by a boat. Okay, you're not going to wind up on another continent. So, like, think about safety, y'all. Do your drinking at a lake.